You know, we may make much of the fact, and it's taught over and over in the Bible, and the Lord goes before us. I was thinking about that little song that we sang. I've used it in several sermons. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. I think of that song, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And we make much of the fact that God goes before us and leads us. We make much of the fact that He's always with us. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world." And there's not a twinkle of an eye, a length of time, that you as a child of God do without the Holy Spirit. He is always there. Not a second in your life, in our life, do we live without the Holy Spirit being there. And so God is with us. And as I was thinking a few weeks ago about the 23rd Psalm, I realized that God's got us covered from every direction. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's got her underneath, taken care of. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. He is in front of us. He anointeth my head with oil. He's over us. And then the truth that I want to remind you of tonight that comes from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 12, where it says, "For the Lord will go before you," again leading us, "but the Lord God of Israel will also be your rearward." In other words, He'll be behind us as well. And so I think about that verse. I think it's in Psalm chapter 34 where the Bible says that God just got us all encircled. I mean, He's got us covered from every single direction. He's in front of us, He's above us, He's below us, and He's behind us. And I was thinking this afternoon of that story, I've told it before, about that lady that came to her pastor really worried. She was really worried, and she came and said, Pastor, you got to help me. And he said, "What's the matter?" She says, "There are two strangers following me everywhere I go. You've got to help me." And so he did some checking and found that there were really nobody following her, but he knew that he needed to help her. So he called her in to his office and says, "I found out who's following you." "You did?" "Yep." He said, "You know who it is? It's goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So he said, "Don't worry. Just be glad they're back there. Goodness and mercy." So he's got us covered from every direction. And tonight, I just want to remind you of the truth that He's also behind us. And I want to go back, and I want to tell you the story again, a familiar story of the nation of Israel as they were leaving Egypt. Okay, and I'm going to need some help. I know some of you are tired tonight, and so I always like to, you know, get your attention. We talked Wednesday night about part of my job is to keep your attention, to keep you awake. So I need to really pick on the people that look the sleepiest. No, I'm just kidding tonight. David, would you come up here and help me? Now that you're a member, I can get you in on some of this stuff, okay? I want you to come up and help me. And Brian, would you come and help me? And let's see. Bill, you come up and help me. Okay. The nation of Israel came out of Egypt. Of course, we know the story. I'll just stand here just for a second. We know the story of all the plagues. The plagues, the different plagues that God sent upon Egypt. Finally, that last one, the death of the firstborn son, where He killed all the firstborn sons that didn't have the blood on the doorposts. And we get the Passover from that. Because He passed over everybody that had the blood on the doorposts. And Pharaoh called them, Moses and Aaron, and said, "Look, I know you've been begging to get out of here, and I kept you from getting out of here. I want you to leave now. I don't want any more judgments from God. I don't want any more plagues. I want you to leave." And so they left. And you know the story, and we'll let Brian represent.
represent the nation of Israel. Oh, that David be the cloud of day and the fire by night. So I need you to be the cloud, okay? And, I really messed up. Bill's going to be the angel, but you know how it is. We just got to use what we got. So here's the story. Here's the nation of Israel, and the Bible says that by day they were covered by a cloud, and an angel went before them, and when the angel went, the nation of Israel followed, and the cloud that stayed right over. Okay, stop right there. And well, we're going to keep going this way a little bit. And at night, I'm going to be a pillar of fire or something like that, okay? At night, they were moving. When the angel moved, the
pillar of fire moved, then the nation of Israel moved as well. Okay, now just, you guys need to go over there and sit down in the middle just for a second. Well, I will use you some more. And so when the angel moved and the cloud or the pillar of fire moved, the nation of Israel moved. When they stopped, the nation of Israel stopped. And the Bible says that if they move for a month at a time, the people travel for a month at a time. If they stopped for 2 weeks, they stopped for 2 weeks. God was leading them out of Egypt. Now, you read over there in the book of Exodus, after Pharaoh had buried his son, and after the nation of Egypt had buried their firstborn sons that were killed in that last plague, Pharaoh realized what he'd done. He said, we've let our slaves go. We've let this free labor go. We need to go get them. And he sent some spies out, and he found the nation of Israel in front of the Red Sea. Okay? In front of the Red Sea. Mountains on either side, and sort of trapped by the Red Sea. And by the way, the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt paints a picture of what happens in our lives. When they were still in Egypt, okay, when they were still in Egypt, it represents us as people that don't know Christ. It represents sinners that are on their way to hell. It represents lost people. When they crossed the Red Sea, we'll let this isle be the Red Sea, that was them getting saved, okay? Them getting saved. Now, this center section is them in the wilderness. That the wilderness represents our growth as a Christian. You see, when we first cross the Red Sea, we're sort of little baby Christians. We're not much like Jesus. We don't know very much. But as we progress in our Christian life, we grow as a Christian. We get more and more like Jesus. And then we come to that Jordan River. Over on the other side of the Jordan River is the Promised Land. Over on the other side of the Jordan River is that land prepared for God's people by God Himself. Over there on the other side of the Jordan River is that home that God promised us in heaven. And so when I cross, you know, we have songs, I don't have to cross Jordan alone. I don't have to go through death alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so we get over here to the Promised Land. That represents Christians in heaven. And so what a wonderful picture that God paints for us, and I'm going to use it a little bit later, what a wonderful picture God paints for us of His people traveling from Egypt over to the Promised Land. So here was the nation of Israel. Okay, you guys, come over here for a second. All right. Here, Brian, you stand right here facing that way. All right. And Dave, you come over here just like this. Actually, you're a little bit ahead of him because he's following you and the angel. Now, here they are. They're right at the Red Sea, okay? And Pharaoh says, what are you guys laughing at? Oh, the angel? I wasn't looking. I got to keep my eye on you all the time. So they come up to the Red Sea. Pharaoh says, I'm going to go get them. And so he gets all his army together, all the chariots together, and I'll be the armies of Egypt. And so they're coming and say, we're going to get them. I mean, Pharaoh's leading the charge. And the people look back and they see Pharaoh's army approaching them. They know they're about to die. They run to Moses and they said, hey, wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? Did you have to bring us out here to get us killed and buried in the wilderness? And Moses went to God and said, what about it, God? What are we going to do? And God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And here's the story. This cloud, or light by night, the Bible says, moved behind them. Okay? And the Bible says that that white was a light to the Israelites, but a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians. So the Israelites had light, and the Egyptians had darkness. They couldn't see. And Moses said to God, well, the cloud moved behind us. Does that mean we're supposed to turn around and go the other way? Does that mean we're supposed to go back that way? And God said, no. You don't ever go backwards. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I don't want you to go backwards. I want you to go forward. And the nation of Israel said, hey, there's a problem, God. The Red Sea's there. God says, not a problem for me. That's what God says, not a problem for me. And he had Moses hold that rod over the Red Sea, and there's a path that opened up in the Red Sea. And I know some people say, well, the Red Sea was only 6 inches deep. It wasn't much of a miracle. Well, how do you explain them drowning the army of Egypt in 6-inch deep water? I don't care how deep it was a miracle either way. He either opened it up where they could get through on dry ground, and if it was only 6 inches deep, he sure did drown a bunch of Egyptians in 6-inch deep water, amen? And so he opened up the Red Sea, and the cloud stayed there, and they crossed the Red Sea. Okay, cloud, come on. And they crossed the Red Sea, and the cloud got here where the Egyptians could see where they were going. They saw that path in the sea, say, hey, we're going after them. I've often wondered, I wonder if there were people in that Egyptian army that wanted to desert at that point. Well, what's this guy getting us into? He's killed our kids. I mean, you know, talking about Pharaoh. And I wonder what he's getting us into. And Pharaoh says, come on, charge! And they charged in and drowned a whole bunch of them. Drowned a whole bunch of them. Okay, guys, sit down just for a second. Now, I'm getting to my point. This cloud, fire, whatever you want to call it, was behind the Israelites. It was their rear guard. I mean, still had the angel out in front of them leading the way through the Red Sea, but God moved this cloud, this pillar of fire, behind the Israelites, and it was darkness to the Egyptians and a protection to the Israelites to their backside. Now, God does the same thing for us. He's got us covered in all directions, but he's got us covered in the back. And in the, there's three things I want to mention tonight that rear guard protects us from. Okay? Brian, you come up and stand right here. David, you come right here. You don't have to, I know your arms are getting tired, so you just face that way. You're the rear guard. Okay, Bill, we're going to change your type for now. Enough of playing the angel. We're going to get into true character casting. Just kidding. All right, here we go. One of the things that this rear guard protects us from is our past sins. Yeah. Is our past. Oh, don't be pointing fingers over there, lady. One of the things that this rear guard protects us from is our past sins. Now, let me ask you, is Brian here at this point a saved guy? Yes, he is. He's saved. He's crossed the Red Sea. He's received Christ as his Savior. And a lot of people talk about getting baptized in the Red Sea as they came through the water. So he is a saved person. Is he going to be accountable for any of his sins? He'll be accountable for what it does, how it affects his life as a Christian. If his sins keep him from doing what God really wants him to do, he'll give an account for that. But praise God, none of us will give an account. None of us will stand before the great white throne judgment and give an account as a sinner. Because we are not a sinner. Because this pillar of fire right here, our rear guard, keeps us from the sin that tries to get at us. Let's say I can go to heaven tonight and I say, hey God, have you noticed Brian down there? Yeah, I got my eye on him. He does too, by the way. I got my eye on him. I might try to be like the devil, and this is what the devil does. He's really a sorry mess, isn't he? God says, just a minute. Let me, of course, you don't need glasses, but he says, let me check the book. Brian. No, there ain't nothing there. And then Satan says, what do you mean there ain't nothing there? I saw him. Did you know what he did yesterday? Just a minute. There ain't nothing there. I want to tell you what. Even though we're saved, we might still retain in our memory our past sins, but when God looks in the book, he don't see them. They are wiped away. That's what the blood of Jesus does for every single one of us. It wipes our sins completely away. They are no longer on our record. When God looks in the book and he looks next to Brian's name, he sees the same thing as when he looks at Clint's and Dick's and Sam's and mine. Our record in heaven is pure white because we are covered with the blood of Jesus and we have his righteousness on our record. And we stand before God just as if we've never sinned. Now, but here's what happens. Satan says, well, I can't get his salvation, but I can still mess him up. And so here's these sins. Bad habit maybe that Brian had before he got saved. And his sin says, I'm going to get him. I can't get him unsaved, but I can sure mess him up. So and this is exactly what happens. He may try to sneak around, and he may try to get all... Hey, Brian, you remember that bad habit that you had before you got saved? Come on now. Remember how much fun it was? We're going to try to get back in there. We can have some more fun. Doesn't matter if you're saved or not. And this is exactly what our rear guard does, if we'll let him. He'll protect us from this sin, our past sin. We're not going to pay for it, but could still drag us down. And he will protect us from that sin getting to us. I read a story not too long ago about a preacher that was flying on an airplane over an ocean. And the pilot came on the intercom and he says, ladies and gentlemen, we're now flying over the deepest part of the ocean. The deepest part of the ocean is right underneath us right now. And that preacher got up and started dancing the aisles and singing glory to God. And the stewardess came and said, hey, what's the matter with you? And he said, hey, you know what's down there? You know what's down there in the deepest part of the ocean? My sins are. That's where God buried them. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sin is gone. Now my heart is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. And it doesn't matter how hard they try to get to us. It doesn't matter how much allure they have for us. If we'll let them, this rear guard will keep those sins from getting to us. Now, number two. It's good, isn't it? Boy, I think this is good. I get excited. Something else. Brian is saved. He's going to heaven. But there may, and I don't, I'm not typecast or anything, so I'm just using this for illustration. Understand. I'm not going to say what Candy told me. So, just kidding. She didn't tell me nothing. Let's say that Brian has some things in his past life. They're paid for. But here's what happens to us if we're not careful. We remember them, and we feel guilt. And we say, as Satan whispers in our ear, how can God use me? I was such a wicked sinner before I got saved. I did things that I'm ashamed to even think about now, but they're on my mind and they're on my heart. And I have the guilt. Now, again, this is Satan trying to work. Here's guilt. Now, Bill's guilt this time instead of sins.
Good, Bill's guilt.
You're going down here. Here's guilt. And this is what Satan tries to do. He tries to stop us from serving him every way that he can. Hey, if I can make him feel guilty about his past, he won't serve God. If I can get him to remember all the wicked things he did before he got saved, he won't serve God. So here comes guilt. Here comes guilt. We're going to get him. If we can just get our arms on him, if we can just, and see what happens. Look, I don't know what you did before you got saved, and I sure don't want you to know what I did before I got saved. But I tell you what, I say like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind. I want to forget all those things. I'm sorry for them, but they were laid at the foot of the cross, and the blood that dripped from the body of Jesus Christ covered all those sins. And I need to forget them. and I need to put my eyes forward. I need to look at the rest of the way of my journey, how much further I need to go to be like Jesus. I tell you what, when I get over here to the Jordan River, I want to be as much like my Savior as I can. I don't want Jesus, I don't want God to take me when I'm still over here in my journey. I mean, I don't want to just be on, I don't want to just be crossing the Red Sea. I just don't want to be like a little baby Christian. I want to be over there just as much as I can and be as much like Jesus as I can when he calls me to cross the Jordan River and go home. And this rear guard keeps all of our guilt. And there are Christians probably in this room tonight. And there are Christians in every church in America that have something on their heart and mind that God's forgiven them for, but they can't forgive themselves for. Now you listen to me. If God loved you enough to forgive you of your past sins and has forgotten them and has erased them from your record, then you just go ahead and forget about them. Just forget about them. Now, one more thing. This rear guard, and I like this one. I get excited about this one. Here's Brian. Bill, I don't need you on this one, so you sit down right here. Thank you. Here's Brian. He's making progress in his Christian life. Okay? All right. Now, the third thing that this rear guard protects us from is our position in Christ. Here's what I mean by this. In this wilderness here, in this world that we're living in, we still can be tempted to turn back. Okay? Now, we can be tempted. Satan can get a hold of us. We can be tempted to turn back. Now, the rear guard is going to stand and try to keep us from going back. But we all know that we can backslide as a Christian. And so, this is how we fight against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to keep us headed in this direction. The Holy Spirit wants to keep us getting more like Jesus. But when we get stubborn, and when we tell the Holy Spirit, I'm going to live my own life, I'm going to make my own decisions, I'm going to do what I want to do, the Holy Spirit will try to stop us. But we can move backwards. Stay in front of them. We can move backwards. But I want to tell you something. And this is the exciting part. When it gets to this line right here, when it gets to the Red Sea, the Holy Spirit draws a line in the sand and say, no further, mister. You're not going any further. There's no way that you're going to go back over here into Egypt and lose your salvation. I am going to stand right here, and it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you're tempted. It doesn't matter how far that you backslide in your Christian life. The line is drawn in the sand right here. You're going no further. You can be just like a baby Christian, but you'll be a Christian forever. You're not going back over there into Egypt. You'll never lose your salvation. You'll never be accountable for your sins again. You're saved forever. I'm drawing a line in the sand right here, and you're not getting across. That's what eternal life's all about. That's what everlasting life is all about. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Bill. And I'm glad that I don't have to watch my back. I'm glad that I got my rear guard. In fact, I'll tell you what. I'm glad that I got somebody that's underneath. I'm glad I got somebody that's up above. I'm glad that I got somebody out front. And I'm glad that I got somebody in the back. And here's what, and you should be too, by the way. And here's what we need to do. We just need to put our eyes, like Chris played for the offertory, we need just to put our eyes on Jesus. Paul said, those things that were important to me before, when I put my eyes on Jesus, they're just like things that are in the garbage heap. The things that mattered to me aren't important anymore. I got my eyes on Christ, and I'm moving in His direction. And the things that used to hold me back and pull me back before, they're just dung. They're just dung. Because I want to be like Him. And I'm glad tonight, and I hope you are too, that we got somebody behind us that's watching our back, that loves us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Wonderful truth from the Bible. You're all around us. And in times like these, makes us realize it and appreciate it more. And I pray tonight that every single one of us that knows Christ as our Savior would keep pressing forward. We forget those things that are behind us, our sins, our guilt, and we keep moving forward for Jesus. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never crossed the Red Sea, they've never made the decision to receive Jesus, that that's the first thing they do, and they do it tonight. And then I'd pray, Father, for all the Christians that are here. We're walking through this wilderness. Help us to keep our eyes forward. Help us to keep following the one that's out in front. Help us to be grateful for the one that's behind us. Bless the invitation tonight. If there's folks here that you've spoken to, they need to do something for you, I pray that they do it. Help us to be obedient, Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.